say, for example, I put it into your car. Well, I want to sell you this bag of potatoes. You say to me, no problem, open up my car and drop it into the car. So your car is your kli, it's your vessel, it's your utensil, and your kelim, your kli is going to be konef. However, what would the din be if your kli, the kli of the lekeach, happens to be sitting in the rishus mocher right now? So let's say, for example, if your car is parked on the street, so then I could put my potatoes into your car and the potatoes belong to you. What if your car is not parked on the street? What if your car is parked in my driveway? So I'm the mocher. So would you say that since it's still in the airspace of your kli, so that's a kinyan? When I say no, when I say that since your kli is situated right now in my property, so ain kinyan shalom kainalo in the rishus of the mocher. That was the shadow of Sheish's post Rav Huna. So Rav Huna said to him, it's a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Tidisua, we learned in the Mishnah. The din is that if one wants to give a get to his wife, the Torah says, you have to give it into our hand. So the Tashra Rapet tells us that you need not place it literally into our hand. You have to put it into a way that she's going to acquire it. She's going to be Conan. Let's say, for example, I put the get into, the person gives puts the get into the wife's chotzer. She has her own backyard. She owns her own property, which is the whole topic in and of itself. How could the married woman halachically own property? That's a different sugya, the 8th Berakh of Kittin. So Reuben wants to divorce Rachel, so he puts the get into Rachel's rishus, into her backyard. So that's considered to be an acceptable get. So what would the din be if he puts it into her kelim? He puts it into her utensil. So presumably that would be okay as well. Just as there's a din that you can be kind of something by having it in your hand, just as there's a din you can be kind of something by having it in your rishus, so to the din should be, she should be able to acquire the get they have being put into her kelim as well. So the Mishnah gives what seems to be an example of this. The Mishnah says, if I throw the get into, say Reuben throws the get into his wife's lap, or into her basket. So she's sitting there holding a basket, and in her basket, the get is now delivered, is now deposited. So the Mishnah is a raisin gureshes. Comes the Gemara and says, it would appear that that basket, although that basket is her kli, but that basket is situated in his rishus. She's sitting in his property, she's sitting in his home. It's again, api alocha. So technically speaking, mashakanz isha kana baila. So technically, the house belongs to him, but the basket, even though it's her own personal basket, the basket is going to acquire for her. How in the world could the basket acquire for her if the basket is sitting in his rishus? You see from here that Caleb should look at rishus maichor akoyneh. That was the proof that Rav Huna brought to Rav Sheshes. Just as it was gittin, her basket is her kli, and the basket has the ability to acquire, to be zeichan, to get for her behalf, even though the basket is situated in his property, it doesn't matter. So we can extrapolate from Ruchus Gittin that yes, Kelev Shalokech is kind of Ishus HaBoicher. The Gemara says, not so simple. That is not necessarily a raya. Why is that not necessarily a raya? So the Gemara gives a few reasons why. So we're going to skip for a moment down to the last line. Rav Mishar Shebreid Rav Ami Omar, Kon Shehoya Baila Moicher Kolosais. The Gemara says, no. This is not a proof to anything, because this is talking about that the husband happens to be in the basket business. He sells loads of baskets. So she has one basket, she's got 100 baskets there. And therefore, what? How does that change anything that he's in the basket business? So we should him explain what it means as follows. Since he's got 20 baskets sitting around in his backyard, he doesn't care that she's putting down her basket there. It doesn't bother him that he's taking up a little bit of space. If he's a guy who doesn't have a basket business, I don't want to have a basket taken up here in my backyard. But if I'm a Meichel Kolossos, anyway, I got 20 baskets in the backyard. It doesn't particularly concern me if there's another basket there. So therefore, it's okay. Because since the husband is all right with her having the basket there, that's all right. So comes Tosin and says, what does that do for me? The fact that the husband's happy with having the basket there, it's still his backyard. It's still the same Shaila. The Shaila that we had with the Caleb Shalodim, Caleb Shalakep, Shusmeicher, right or not, are still pose a problem. Yes, tells an 11th Rambam calls him Tamar. He knows him the Rishus of Mashila. Even if he can tell me that he's giving her permission to have the basket there, he's lending her space in his backyard to put the baskets there, because he's a fellow who doesn't care about extra baskets there. today. She didn't acquire that space. So Kol's mad that that space where the basket is sitting is still in the Yamamun, is his property. We're back to the original question. So how in the world does that help things? The fact that he's lending her, so to speak, space there, in order to make that space hers, she has to require it, and she requires a kid in Chazaka. And Tosfos makes reference to the Gemara, Abay Chazaka, Yamin Meshaya, Kishem Shekaka, Nikka, Bekesa, Bishtab, Chazaka, Schivas, Kaka, Bechulik. That the same way that you buy land for keeps with Kesa, Shtah, Chazaka, the same way that you rent land temporarily to Kesa, Shtah, Chazaka, the same way that you borrow land, the same way, if you want to make borrowing of land the halachically binding statement, I borrowed the land and you can't take that land back with me for the next month. So then they have to make a kinyan on that, and the kinyan has to be kesa shtah v'chazaka. So that's Tosfos' problem. Tosfos says they don't understand, how does the husband being okay with her putting the basket there, how does that change the dini momenu status of the land? The land is still the husband's land. So says Tosfos, the Tiberet Zviva, the afagav the ena makom kanila, the kevin the yesh the rishus lavi kalasa shab kanila kalasa. The kelim shaladim kanila b'chamakam sheish the rishus lahaniyach. Says the Rival the following. In order for a Kenyan Kalev to be Kona, it has to be placed in an area where the Baal HaKli has the rights to leave it there. So comes the Gemara as a Shaila. If the Baal HaKli doesn't really have the right to leave his Kli in Rishus HaMokher, that's a problem. That's going to be an ineffective way of using a Kenyan Kalev. But if you have the rights to put it there, even though you don't have the binding rights, even though you don't have an acquisition, even though you don't have a legal contract that enables you to put it there, push comes to shove, the meich is letting you put it there. So that's for sure considered to be a Kenyan Kalev. So the only time the Gemara is suffix with a Kalev shalakech, which is meich or a kaina, that's a little kech, put it there. The meich doesn't even want it to be there. The meich wants that kli out of there right away. So then that's a shaila. Maybe that's not considered to be a Kenyan of Kalev because he doesn't really have the rights to put it there. But as soon as he has the rights to put it there, even though there's no contract, there's no obligation, there's nothing that Imamunis that's binding him to enable it to leave it there, that's all you need for Kinyan Kalev. But, says Tosfos, it sticks to the original opinion, that nothing binded, there was nothing that was forcing, nothing that's compelling the Moichet to let the Lekech leave the basket there, even though the Moichet, quote unquote, gave them permission to do so. Even though they, quote unquote, lent them that space, lending space is meaningless in halacha unless it was affected with the kinyan of a keser shtar chazaka. So comes to B'chon Wasserman on this Gemara, and this Tosfos says that why did Tosfos even ask this question? How did Tosfos present by saying kishem she'akarka nikris b'kesef keser shtar chazaka? So to she'elas karka is nikra b'keser shtar chazaka. According to the Ktos, that's not right. According to the Korban Asano, that's not correct. According to everything we said last week, that there is no equation between how you buy karka and how you rent or how you borrow karka. To borrow or rent karka, the method of acquisition is using the karka. So according to that whole approach of last week, Tosfos should have simply said, how does the woman acquire rights to putting a basket there? Where's the kinyan? The answer should be, there's the kinyan. The kinyan was the fact that she put it there. The fact that she's using the land. Now, using land is not a kinyan. It's not a kinyan to acquire the gufa karka, but it is a kinyan to acquire rights of usage, which is all you need for our purposes. So for the fact that Tosfos bent over backwards and didn't say that, and had to come up with a razzle-dazzle shtickle Torah that for kinyan Kalev, you don't need an obligation. All you need is just simple, the rights to use it. You don't need a kinyan. You see from Tosfos that no kinyan was affected. According to this understanding of Rabbi Chanan, this deed of Rabbi Chanan, now the Tosfos in Pesachim and Asugya is l'shitasam in Bava Basra. What was Tosfos' primary attack against Rashi and Asugya? Rashi, he said, why does B'dikas Chavetz follow the handing off of the keys? So Rashi said, because the Kinyan, the Mesiris of Avtech is the Kinyan's Chiras. But Tosfos says, no, it's not. Tosfos said the same that Mesiris Mavtech is not a Kinyan Gufadovar, it's not a Kinyan Tzchiras. So Tosfos equated the two. Tosfos says whatever standards you need for acquisition for Gufadovar, those are the identical standards for Kinyan Tzchiras. You cannot split between the two. It was only the Korban Asadol came to Rashi's defense to differentiate between Gufadovar versus Zchus Tashmish alone. The Baal HaTosfos didn't buy into that. The Baal HaTosfos never heard of such a thing. According to the worldview of the Baal HaTosfos, there's one kidney alone. Whatever the standards of kidney are for Gufadover, for the kidney in Tashrish B'Alma. Because the Baal HaTosfos and Psochem could not fathom Shittas Rashi, that's why they were bothered by the Basel Pehe with the Kasha. How does having a basket rights, how does having rights to put a basket there make it your land? So Tosfos says, Ataka doesn't make it your land. According to Rashi, it does make it your land. According to Kabbalah Sadler, it does. According to Tosfos, it does. Simple usage of something makes it your land vis-a-vis usage. So again, that whole Torah from last week, that the way to acquire rights of usage are significantly different than acquiring Guf HaDavar, is true according to Rashi, but not at all true according to Tosfos. There is another Rishon that also takes a stand on this issue of how do you affect the kinyan of usage? How do you acquire rights of usage for something? So this is based on a sugya in Kedusha Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara in Kedusha tells us on the 12th of the Ramah Kavos Yom Rav Huna, Hashoa Karda Mechavero, Bika Bokano, Lo Bika Lo Kano. If I borrow an axe from you, the way that I acquire a kinyan is by using the axe, by chopping the wood. If I chop the wood, that's the kinyan. If I didn't chop the wood, I didn't acquire the axe. So what is this talking about? So the Rishonim explained that this Gemara is talking about at what point is the deal sealed? At what point can the owner of the axe say, can no longer say, I'm sorry, give me the axe back. If I say to you, can I borrow an axe and no kinyan was made, so then easy come, easy go, I can change my mind. But once a kinyan was affected, then you have no right to change. So at what point did the kinyan take place? So the Gemara says very clearly, chopping the wood is the kinyan. So comes the Ridvan, the 13th of Amakomus, and says, to me a milsa, says the Ridvan, the end of the first line. The she'ela matana liyomu amenas tahachzir, says, what is a she'ela? A she'ela is a temporary gift. It's a gift for one day. It's a gift for 30 days. It's a gift for 6 months, whatever it is. It's a temporary kind of a gift. Says, why should borrowing an axe be any different than giving an axe as a gift? If I want to give you an axe as a gift, what do? You have to make a formal ma'aseh kinyan. The Mishnah says, what's the formal ma'aseh kinyan? Either you pick it up, you drag. We say the word meshicha to mean, meshicha literally means dragging animals. Items that can be lifted have to be lifted. That's called agbah. We lump together meshicha and agbah, even though they're technically a little bit different, but they're both descriptions of a physical act that is going to serve as a ma'aseh kinyan. So it comes to Ridvan and says, I don't understand. Where did chopping wood come into the picture? The correct way to acquire an axe is by picking it up. The zoo. For whatever reason, Meshicha isn't working. We don't know why, says the Ridva. So then where did chopping wood come from? Says the Ridva, whoever it is such a thing, that chopping wood, using a kli, using an axe, should be a Maisa Kinyan. So the Ridva is a dual question against Rav Huna's statement. Rav Huna said that the way to acquire the axe, to make the mashal, to make the owner of the axe no longer able to back out from this deal, is through chopping the wood. Ask the Ridva, I don't understand. That first of all, the real method that should be used should be Meshicha. And in terms of learning, for some reason, Meshicha is not effective, where did chopping wood come from? So, Tiretzli Rabbein in the root says the Ridva, my Rebbe, his Rebbe was the Ra'ah, explained that the reason why this statement of Rav Huna is true is the following. Why is it that you can't acquire a Kli for the purpose of She'ela with Meshicha? Says the Ra'ah, when you borrow something, you're not acquiring the kli proper. All you're acquiring is the tashbishabo. You're acquiring the usage of that item. The ein hatashbishahu roi liknos b'meshicha. Says the Ra'ah, meshicha is a kinyan that relates to the guf hadavar. Meshicha is not a kinyan that relates to the tashmish. And then he gives you a raya from Osir Tikus b'Mesira. Okay, she'ein meshicha konel b'moshech guf hadavar hanikna. So the Ritva says the reason why we find that the standards of kinyan are different is because you're not being konel the guf hadavar. So now this is very reminiscent of the Ketos. This sounds like it's the Karmen Asana in the making. It sounds like the Ritva is going with the same Rishonim. We're differentiating between a guf hadavar versus the Tashmish. But now the Ritva makes an about face. And now comes the Ritva and says, let's take a look at the, let's look down to the last paragraph in the Ritva, the second paragraph of the Ritva. So now that he just explained to you that Meshicha is not the method of Kinyan. So now why is it that chopping the wood is? So if I was writing the Ritva, I would say, oh, you know why chopping the wood is? Because that's the Tashmish. The same way that Korban Asanel says, when you want to require Tashmish, so you do an act of Tashmish. The same way that the Ketzai said, when you want to require Tashmish, you do an act of Tashmish. So I'm expecting the Ritva to say that when you want to simply use an axe, I don't want to require the axe. The axe is not for sale. My goal is simply to acquire usage rights of the axe. I would say the greatest way, the best way to acquire usage axe is by using the axe. So I'm expecting the Ritva to be on the team of yesterday, of last week's Rishonim. But now the Ritva makes it about face. Says the Ritva, had the mikni bebikua, lav dino. It's not a real din. El takanta de rabbanan shetiknu kein, kidei sheikimu divrayim. Says the Ritva, there is no way to acquire an axe to prevent the other person from backing out from it. Meshicha is meaningless because Meshicha only works in the Gufa Davar. Usage, that Kinyan doesn't exist in the Chumash. There's no such Kinyan called using something. Never heard of such. It's not part of Pashas Kinyan. So where did it come from? It must be a Din de Rabbanon. El Chazal instituted just to make life easy. Otherwise, I'm going to ask you to borrow your axe. I'm going to be in the middle of chopping down my tree. My tree's going to be half down. And you're going to come and say, sorry, give me my axe back. Can't work like that, can't function like that. So Chazal made a special tachanas chachamim that if you want to borrow an axe, you want to borrow a kli, once you start to use the kli, the person should not back out, cannot back out from it. But it's only a din midrabbanan. So it comes out that the Ritva is now not like the Rishonim from last week. Unlike Rashi and the Korban Asanel and the Ketzos and the Gaon and that whole group of Rishonim that we spoke about last week, who said that Kinyan Tashmish can be affected through Tashmish alone, Ritva saying, no, it can't. Kinyan Tashmish cannot be affected through Tashmish alone. It can't even be affected through Meshicha. Minatera, there's no way to make it binding. The only institution of Tashmish is purely a Kinyan on the level of the Rabbanon. So we have this recurring theme in Rishonim, really two very, very different camps of Rishonim. What does that take on Parshas HaKinyanim? We know that there's a Parshas HaKinyanim about how to acquire Gufa Davar. We have such Kinyanim such as Chazoka vis-a-vis character. We have a parallel kinyan of Meshicha vis-a-vis Metalfalin. And now we're raising this question. Whenever I don't want to require the Gufa Davar, I simply want to require Tashmishin, do we follow the regular rules of Kinyanim? That's what Taisa said. You need a Kinyan Chazaka to be kind of She'elan Tzchiras. But do I say no? That if all you're trying to do is be kind of She'elan Tzchiras and just Tashmishin Miyama, then the rules are going to be different. The standards are going to be different.
Just one quick question. How would that transfer over to the case of Mesira Samavteach? Because wouldn't the Mesira Samavteach be the same thing as the axe? Meaning it wouldn't be enough just to give over the key. You would have to actually use it in order to acquire.
Right, right. I mean, it's not identical. I mean, even within the world of Tashmishin, we're almost seeing different nuances of Tashmishin. There's beginnings of ability of usage, and then there's usage proper, right? No, Chanam, right. It's not identical, right, right? It's similar in that it's focusing on usage, but it's a slightly different nuance of usage. So one thing was very, very clear from Agamar and Pesachim, from all the Rishonim on the page of Masechet Pesachim, that if you want to sell land, you want to mamash sell a house for keeps, there's no way Mesiras Mavtech is going to work. Taisus didn't even accept Mesiras Mavtech as a method for Schiras. And that Rashi was going to accept. But to accept Mesiras Mavtech for an actual Kinyan, that was not even on the radar screen. Nobody said such a thing. Nobody except for one Rishon, and that's the last of the Ramakomos, and the 14th of the Ramakomos, that's the Rishbam of Abbasra. Rishbam of Abbasra writes, "Be'afal gavda gabi schibus batim armini b'psachim, mishemoslem avteach have b'cheska seicher," says the Rishbam that if you want to rent the house, giving over the keys is the chazoka, is the kinyan. So there's no question that the Rishbam is learning like his grandfather, like Rashi, that b'psachim davdal and b'sius avteach is a kinyan. But now the Rashbam says something that nobody else said till now. Says the Rashbam, so too, if you want to sell a house, not rent a house, not lend a house, not borrow a house, you want to sell a house for keeps, the way to do it is Mesiras Mavteach. So unlike Rashi in the Korban Asanel last week, who differentiated between Schiras and Kinyan Gufa Davar, unlike Taisus, who said there's no such thing as Kinyan Mesiras Mavteach, Rashbam says, yes, there is. There's a full-fledged kinyan of Mesiras Mavtech. And guess what? Not only is it good for Schirus, we can extrapolate to kinyan Gufa Dover as well. But says the Rashbam, the book stops here. When do we say the Mesiras Mavtech is good? Hani mili b'meicher u'mask. Is selling the house to Shimon, or Reuven is renting the house to Shimon. Baba Nichse Hager, Mimusal Mavtech Sheikhne, Nikach Tzach Binyan Kol Shehu. However, when it comes to Nichse Hager means Davishal Hefki, a Ger who doesn't have anyone to inherit him, he doesn't have any children, so all his property is going to become Hefki. His non Jewish relatives, halachically, are not considered to be related to him, they're not going to get his property. So a Ger Shemesh Vemlo Yorshim, so all his property becomes Hefki. So if you have a ger shemeis v'lo yorshim, he left behind the house, and I want to go be zocha in that house, so I'm going to run and pick up the keys. So the Rashbam says, that's a joke. That's no good. Just holding the keys is not good. You need mesiras of mavtech. And there's no one to be meiser that mavtech. This is like a throwback thing. It says in Baba Basra, if I want to sell you an animal, say I want to sell you a big cow, you're not going to pick up the cow. How do I sell you the cow? I hand you over the reins. I hand you over the So when I say a horse, I hand you over the reins of the horse, so that's considered to be a kinyan of Mesira. The Gemara says, Mesira b'nichse hagei lo koni. Let's say there's a ger shemeis v'en lo yorshim, and now he has a horse, and I want to go acquire that horse. It's not going to be enough for me just to pick up the reins of the horse. Holding reins is not a kinyan. Mesira is a kinyan. So to via the Mesira, so the formal handing of the keys is the kinyan, and that act of Mesira can't take place when there is no Moser. It's a nichse hagei. So the Rashbam goes further than all the other Rishonim. Unlike Taisus, who said Mesiras Mavtech is absolutely meaningless in Dinim Mamonis, Mesiras Mavtech is just a mechanism to determine who's Chayv and B'dikas Chometz. Unlike Rashi in the Korban Asana, who said that Mesiras Mavtech is very significant for rights of usage, to acquire rights of usage, but irrelevant to acquire the Gufa Dovar, Rashbam goes the extra mile and says, no, nope, Mesiras Mavtech is more than Taisus, more than Rashi, that actually is a kinyan on the Gufa Dovar itself. But even the Rashbam agrees that it doesn't work all the time. It works when there's a moser. It wouldn't work when it's just been nichse hager shemeis or nichse hefker. So even though this started out as a psachim sugya, it very, very quickly became became a mitzvah, a master kedushin kind of a sugya to be able to work out the details of what is and what is not mesiras mavtech. But now we set the stage really for tomorrow for the next sugya, because the gemara goes back to the psachim parts of the sugya. Namely, we can ascertain whose obligation it is to do B'dikas Chametz. Is it incumbent upon the masker, upon the socher? And ultimately, it all depends for whatever reason on Mesiras Mavtech. But now the Gemara raises the next question: how do we know that this actually happened? So I move into a house on Erev Pesach at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I assume that the masker did the right thing. How do I know that the masker did the right thing? Can I just assume that the masker did what he was supposed to do, and if I don't have to? Or do I have to be concerned that maybe the masker was lazy, maybe he was negligent, that he didn't do what was incumbent upon him, and I have to do B'dikas Chometz myself? And that's the next sugya. The Gemara raises the question, so this Gemara, this suffix of the Gemara, whether Cheskos Obodok or Ein Cheskos Obodok, is going to take us through three major sugyas. There are three major, major issues that revolve around this next Ibaya, this next question in the Gemara, that go way beyond B'dikas Chometz proper. This now relates back to a whole series of issues of relying on the fact that people did something that they were supposed to do. This touches on issues related to Rov. How much of a assumption can I make in Halacha? How much do I have to try to be mevara that assumption? How much do I have to try to find out the facts? So a whole array of sugyas that are going to relate to Sveikis and Rovs and Chazokis and all kind of Shas topics, and now all going to come together in this next Ibaya of the Gemara. So we have three major, major sugyas coming ahead of us in terms of what the status of a bias that we're not quite sure whether B'dikas Chometz really took place or not. So for Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll begin with the first of those sugyas. So Mitzvah the Nun Mar Makamo. So we'll begin a whole array of different issues which start off as B'dikas Chometz issues, but very, very quickly become Sveikis and Rovs and Chazokis and all kind of Akotar Kudika sugyas that are going to revolve around this new sugya being tomorrow. So Mitzvah, see everybody tomorrow morning. Be well.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Be well. Thank you.
He sent 9:15 tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If we could just get printed out the next set of send out the next set of Marmakamos.
I'm gonna do it now. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay, be well. Have a great day.